before that, we get out for we were here to listen to your presentation, and then we shall then ask questions of clarification thereafter. And what you present here will assist us then in our debate for the annual report that is the budget speech of the Prof. Minister. So without much ado, let us move out and then come back and start. Yeah.
Okay. We are only invited for tea.
Thank you.
Let's have one more minute before we start. Oh, Now, 10 seconds, and then we shall have to start. Thank you very much, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. So, perhaps before we start, let us allow the CEO of South African Tourism to introduce his team, and then thereafter, then we can start. Over to you, Mr.
Chairman of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, honorable members, and the National Department of Tourism, good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here. The first thing that I would like to do is to offer an apology on behalf of our chairman, who unfortunately cannot make it this morning. We sincerely apologize for that. The second apology is to the CFO, who is out of the country at this stage, and the executive manager for the National Convention Bureau. Both of them are out of the country, unfortunately. So we sincerely apologize for that. I also want to introduce the new Chief Marketing Officer for South African Tourism. I think the last time we appeared here at the Portfolio Committee, we had a different individual. I don't think you have been here before, have you? At the Portfolio Committee? Oh, okay. Today he has been introduced. We will acknowledge that. And the manager in the office of the CEO, Belu, has already been introduced, I think, in the past. The purpose of the presentation today is to really take you through our 2015-2014 annual performance plan, as well as the 5-year strategic plan.
Excuse me, CEO. Yes, no, in fact, we did not welcome the department under the leadership of the COO. I think we made a mistake there. So Pascal Rick and your team, you are welcome, and we're happy for you to be part of it. Just formalizing. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Zimon.
Mr. Pascal Gregg, you have noted that we did approach you from anti-tourism, so please continue to raise money to us. I've also noted that I've crossed the form, Chairman, and something that is not allowed anymore. I'm this side of the Portfolio Committee.
It's revolutionary.
What we normally do is to send our plans beforehand, so that the honorable members can familiarize themselves with some of the details of the plan. This is designed to allow a much faster flow of the presentation here, so that at least if there are specific issues that honorable members would like to raise with us, they have an opportunity to look at the document. So, in a nutshell, to a certain extent, we will fly through some of the slides here. Please accept our apology for doing so. It's not meant to ignore certain details. So we'll do so in the interest of time allocated to us today. The content of our presentation will cover the areas that you see there, and let's go straight into some of the key issues here. The vision and mission of South African Tourism is very clear, and for us, it is really about the maximizing of the economic potential of tourism for the benefit of all our people in the country. And we have certain specific initiatives that we would like to do to achieve that. And the mission is the implementation of the plan that we have both internationally and regionally, and making sure that we maintain and have a recognizable and credible globally benchmark system. This is the reason why we have the Grading Council under as part of the fulfillment of the tourist experience when they come to South Africa. But we don't end there. We also embark on a lobbyist role where we feel there is the need to remove obstacles that could be an impediment to the delivery of the set strategies and objectives. Like any other organization, we also have values that drive us, and top of the list is really to push the boundaries of excellence in everything that we do. We pride ourselves in terms of the professional skills that we have and the way that we put ourselves and working as a team, making sure that we break silos in the way we deliver our objectives, and be accountable and responsible with all the kind of authority that is given to us, and caring for each other as a business, and doing all this with a lot of integrity, really. When you look at the market of SA Tourism, it is very clear that we need to deliver on a few key things. Firstly, sustainable GDP growth and sustainable job creation, and the redistribution of tourism and transformation in the country. We then have to embark on a few strategic objectives from our side. The first one, which is very important, is make sure that we increase the volume of tourists coming into the country. And while doing so, we want to market in places and countries which will give us the highest spend coming from those countries. If you have been following the news, you'll see that China is actually topping the list, even by UN WTO, in terms of the spend. They have actually even overtaken the Germans. So we are in the right places. And while doing so, we want those people to stay a little bit longer in the country. When they stay a little bit longer in the country, they will help us with the spread of tourism within the geographies of South Africa and improving the seasonality, which is a problem year in and year out. But we also not forget the transformational agenda that the country is trying to achieve. And we do so by understanding the market. We do a lot of research in every market that we go into. We choose those kind of segments that will deliver on both volume as well as the average spend, and making sure that uppermost in the top list of all the tour operators is South Africa as a tourist destination. And also, like I indicated, we don't want to be a passive participant. When we identify impediments to the delivery, we try and work with all the key stakeholders so that we can deliver on those kinds of mandates. But we also create platforms that will allow our products in South Africa to showcase what South Africa can offer. Our job is to promise, and then we have the product that must deliver. And these platforms include Indaba, Meeting Africa, IMEX, and all of those things that relate to the production of the provision of a platform. And we also make sure that when tourists come into the country, on exit, we survey their experiences of the country, making sure that what we have told is best, in fact, being fulfilled. If not, then what we learn out of that so that we can correct it going forward. But we do on an annual basis to give us a very good sense of how we are going to operate in the market is to review portfolios. The portfolios are reviewed on a three-year cycle. And we've just done a three-year cycle. And this is a technical slide that I've got. But in a nutshell, when we embark on the process of portfolio review, it goes through a variety of filters. And once it has happened, it will then give us a portfolio. Things that have changed in terms of the fourth portfolio that we just recently completed for implementation with effect from the 1st of April 2014 is the fact that we used to, in outside of Africa, all the countries with less than 150 people per annum and a population of less than 3 million will be taken out. We treat Africa differently, so Africa would automatically qualify because there are numbers that are much higher than that. The other consideration, which is very new, is we need to look at the spend on the basis of at least a GDP of $2,000. Now we are moving to what is called the purchasing power parity. Purchasing parity, purchasing power parity, and which is now 11,000. This now gives us a lot more countries to look at, and it is generally considered as the Big Mac index. Those are the few changes that we have implemented in the fifth portfolio review. Just to refresh your memory, this is what we had in the fourth portfolio, which will run until the 30th of March 2014, following which the fifth portfolio will kick in. That forms our new market. So that this is what we had by way of refreshing your mind in the current portfolio. All our plans at the moment are based on this one. Then move on to what we have in the new portfolio. It will be very difficult to see the differences, but I'm going to talk you through some of the key differences that we have seen there. The fifth portfolio is given depth to the following different markets, from our core market, investment, technical, watch list, to the strategic market. What will be difficult for you is to notice that Botswana has actually gone down a little bit due to this in the home market. Tanzania has just come from nowhere. We did not actually see Tanzania in some of the previous exercises that we had. And Mozambique has also moved up. It used to be sitting in the investment portfolio. China, which also sits in the in investment market, has shot up. In fact, China has become the fourth largest source of choice to South Africa. That recently overtaken Australia. So it's doing very well. And we also saw Ghana as well coming from nowhere to move into a consideration. Russia, another one that comes from the blue, and they now move into the investment market. And we will share with you how we actually going to sell some of these markets. There's also a question mark about Italy. If you look at Italy, it sits in our investment market. It is, apart from what you see as Japan and South Korea, these are combined as hubs already. But Italy is the only market that stands alone but is sitting in an investment market. What it means is we will have to review our position with Italy on an annual basis to see whether it still deserves to be structured and staffed in the way that we currently have it, because most of the countries that get staff and a full country manager are sitting in the core market environment. So we are fully aware of those developments and we are continually looking at that. Also, just for noting that most of the markets that are sitting in the watch list environment are generally going to form our hub strategy so that we have a way of servicing this market. If they are thin markets on their own, they cannot warrant a fully fledged office. The last point I want to highlight here is just in terms of the strategic importance of certain markets. You'll notice that Egypt, Israel, Morocco, and Saudi Arabia are sitting right at the bottom there. These are very strategic for us, and we are also looking at ways to service these markets. They are all rich, most of them. Some of them on their own do not seem to have a huge base of their own citizens that can travel, but they have a huge expat community that works in those areas. If you look at the United Arab Emirates, for instance, if you look at Singapore, these are the kind of markets that are strategic on their own, do not look like they can provide you with enough markets. So in terms of the proposed hub strategy, just in understanding the approach and why we're doing it, what are we hoping to achieve with it? The first thing is really we want to combine those markets of strategic importance to realize the greater return on investment. Most of these markets are very thin on their own, and we need to combine them with an existing market that can provide assistance to them. So that's the first thing that informs our hub approach. And also we want to minimize the cost of doing business in those markets. Whilst we grow them eventually into either investment or into a core market, we do not want to invest a lot of money because we are limited in terms of resources. And when we talk of hubs, because I'm not going to explain this point, we are we are not talking about setting up a fully fledged office. In some of these instances, when we talk about servicing a hub, we talk about a virtual office where we give someone a laptop and they can work from home and stay in the market and doing activation when with the trade. That's what the factors that we've combined is, we've considered is need that they've got a combined outbound travel. On their own, if you look at the number that is coming from Ghana alone, it's not enough. But when you look at Ghana and Nigeria, you will see that the numbers make sense. If you look at Tanzania alone, it does not warrant an office. But when you look at Tanzania, Uganda, and the other one, Kenya. So it makes sense. That's the combined outbound travel that I'm talking about. We're also looking at the community that when we have a hub, the person who's setting the hub must go to a certain office. That individual must be able to travel very easily back to the boarding office. What are the earnings that exist in the area? Will people really be able to move around in that fashion? And is there a cultural link between the two countries and the language, so that the consumption of media is also made easy by the two the hubs that are combining? So, summarize, they have resulted in coming from the left to America. We already have an office in New York. That office will look after North America, and then that includes Canada. In Latin America, we are about to open our office in Brazil, but it is designed to make sure that Argentina and Chile and other markets that may develop with time will be serviced using the Brazilian office as a hub. And then in Asia, the Pacific, the China office is growing. Currently, we have a regional manager that looks at China, which includes Hong Kong and Macau. This is really by way of definition, Macau and Hong Kong are defined as part of China. But that office also looks after Japan and South Korea. And then we move on to Europe, key markets, Central Europe, which is where Germany is sitting. There are markets that we are already looking at. Where I have asterisk, the board has already approved the appointment of a trade relations manager. These are the areas where we are already going to start putting individuals in the federal office that I was talking about. So Russia will now have a person that is going to be dedicated to servicing it. And other markets that we are still monitoring will be Spain, Italy, Switzerland, and Portugal in terms of how we deal with that. United Kingdom, looking after all the countries that form that part. And then West Africa, East Africa, Australasia, the Benelux, and Scandinavia is actually another interesting one where we're looking at the Netherlands as the main hub to include traditional market of the Benelux as well as the Scandinavian market that you see there. And we also identified that there is a need for what you see as the Asia Air Link hub. And I was talking here about Singapore and Malaysia. These markets have got airlines that are very active internationally, but they have traffic via their home bases, so we want a slice of that traffic without incurring huge costs. I've spoken about Italy and France as well. It's not at the moment linked to servicing a hub. These are standalone markets existing now. The other important part is the Africa strategy. We were very fortunate that with the support of this committee and the department, we were given an additional money to focus on growing something out of regional Africa. And the objective is really the same, to make sure that we drive growth from this continent, but we also have to meet or support the national tourism sector strategy. In all the things that we're doing, it is important that it takes back to how does it translate to supporting the national tourism sector strategy. We want to also increase awareness within the regional Africa that we are much more than just a business center. We are also providing tourism and leisure. Most of the arrivals coming from Africa are hard currency based, so it will help us in the contribution to the GDP and job creation. In the direct market, which is really very close to us, we still see opportunity there to convert those people who come here traditionally for shopping. We want them to come back now as leisure tourists. But also in the air markets of Africa, where people generally come to South Africa for business first, we want them to come back now as leisure travelers. We are still on track to set up the the five offices in the regional Africa by 2020. We have had to slow down a little bit to deal with some of the regulatory constraints and challenges that exist in setting up an office in some of these markets. We could easily have rushed through to open some of these offices, but I can assure the committee here and our partners in the National Department of Tourism that it is not easy to go and set up an office in Angola and Nigeria. You have to navigate through a maze of things and making sure that you eliminate any obvious risks. So that, I think, is very, very important that you all understand. Once we still focus on opening these offices, the pace is not going to be as fast because we have to be very careful. Otherwise, we will come back here to explain lots of stories, excuses that we'll be offering you, why things are going wrong. And that's a longer-term commitment that we must make. This is really a summary of how we look at the regional hubs in Africa. We are talking about the East African region, the Central region, and the West African region. The thing about this slide really is to indicate to you that it's about combining numbers. It's about combining certain similarities in consumers. What are those things that will help us that when we create marketing collateral, when we buy media space, we do not duplicate activities. We can actually come up with collateral material that can be distributed. But also when you look at the combined numbers, they will then make sense that you are operating from a hub point of view. Another very key consideration which also has to support the national tourism sector strategy is how we do with our domestic tourism. At the time of agreeing the national tourism sector strategy, the baseline for the number of adult travelers was sitting at 14.6 million. The aim is by 2020 we should be sitting at 18 million. And for the 2015 period, the target will be at 16 million, and I think this year we are hoping to get 15 million. And also another key consideration there is the total number of holiday trips. Baseline was at 4 million. We are looking by 2020 to be sitting at 9 million. And then the issue of seasonality, which is worrying us year in and year out, I think we would have done well that by 2020 we have improved the occupancy during the seasonal period by 10%, but it's an ongoing exercise that we are working on. Some key initiatives that we are looking at is just to talk to the domestic tourism strategy. First, we would be the first to admit that the current campaign on the domestic tourism has not kicked off very well. We have taken the initiative to do a complete rent audit of what is happening with the current domestic strategy, and we are already embarking on initiatives that will improve our delivery on the domestic strategy. We may not be at liberty to take you through this initiative and changes yet because we still have to take the board through this exercise as well as the department so that we have a collective input on it and bringing in the industry. But we are aware of the fact that the current domestic campaign has not worked as well as the previous short-left strategy. And I know that some people are sentimental about short-left and they think we should be talking short-left again. But we will relaunch it, Honorable Member. That's what we're doing. And then the other thing is we are actually, keep in mind that short-left was focusing on one segment. Now the new strategy is increasing the segment to five. So it's a much bigger base that we are dealing with, but we think we are doing the right thing. We are also applying all the best practices, including digital marketing, because that's where we get some of these consumers today to communicate with them. What is very important as well in the success of the domestic strategy is viable low-cost airlines. We just want to note, we want the committee to note that this is a challenge. It is very difficult for us as a tourism to inject some life in those local airlines that are going belly up. But it is important that they help in the distribution of tourism in the geography of South Africa, where the current airline with bigger aircraft cannot operate into. It is, secondly, it is about affordable airfares. If you want to stimulate the market, the low-cost airlines came up with a model that helps in that regard. But our concern is that most of them have not lasted too long, and even the upstart ones come in very shortly and go. I think at some stage there will be a challenge for not just this committee, but the rest other key stakeholders to look at whether there is no way of making these low-cost airlines viable. We are engaging in a very long process of taking top radio DJs around the country as part of the promotion of domestic tourism. The aim is to get a lot of talk time with the DJ using the radio station platform. We'll take them around all the provinces and get them to broadcast from various tourist attractions. After that, they will continue to talk about domestic tourism. One of the points that we are not included in here, but it is in our recent strategy, is to also try and identify brand ambassadors for tourism. These will be celebrities and influential people that will help us in encouraging the rest of South Africans to begin to travel their country. When it comes to the annual target, this is in line with the National Tourism Sector Strategy once again, and we make sure that from our side, the increase in the contribution of tourism sector to the economic growth is always a paramount consideration. And to be able to achieve that, we will implement marketing strategies that increase arrivals and increase the tourism spend. Those markets that we have chosen are supposed to be contributing to our economy in South Africa. And the first strategic objective that we are talking about is to increase foreign visitor arrivals to South Africa. The baseline in 2009 was at 9,933,000. The desire really is by 2015, this is 2020 figure, it will be at 15 million, 2020 will be at 15 million. And I don't want to confuse members here by talking arrivals and tourism, but eventually we are going to move to the use of tourist arrivals rather than travel arrivals. But what we've got here, based on the discussion and agreement, the National Tourism Sector Strategy is pushing for total arrivals. The second objective is to increase domestic tourism in South Africa. As spoken about the numbers already, we will be moving from 14.6 million to 18 million. And then we are also talking about increase in spend, talking about trips, and then an increase in the tended revenue. What we've been doing in the past, we were looking at the average spend per tourist coming to South Africa. It's a bit of a messy formula, and you will see when we go to the next page where initially we didn't talk of the net international tourism spend, and then we move to the total foreign direct spend. But we feel that the best is to look at the tended revenue, which should be no less than 1.5% growth year on year. So that is what is going to give us the figure of 499 billion rand that sit in the national tourism sector strategy. And you can see it's going to be considerable growth when you look at that. And as well as making sure that we continue to generate the work, the employment numbers of 225,000 additional jobs as a result of doing the various things that we talk about. The fourth objective is to increase the brand awareness of our country. Honorable members, you will understand that we faced with a very difficult task. We are making a lot of investment in creating awareness about the country. But awareness also comes in two forms. One is a controlled awareness where we ourselves will do positive things to create that awareness. The Soccer World Cup was a case in point. The recent big summit was another case in point. But we also have negative awareness, where the issues of the likes of Costa Pistorius will come to the fore and affect our brand. Whether it's Marikane, the market that we're dealing with has a perception about what it means when they see a lot of people dying. You are at pains to explain that some of these are labor matters that have built over to tourism. Some of them are domestic issues, a relationship that has gone wrong between Costa and his girlfriend. When they see the police dragging someone to death, those are the things that we are dealing with. And the international media cable networks are much more interested in those kind of stories than the positive things that are happening in the country. So please understand that whilst we are doing all of this work, and eventually it must translate to people coming to South Africa, we have a lot of odds against us, and we have to navigate through our bed. Each time we go overseas with the minister and the chairman of the board, the DG, the questions that we are faced with always will be, what do you think of the safety and security in South Africa? What about the All-Star Security matter? Maybe 3 weeks ago, when I was traveling on board in the Time magazine, France page story, full, it was All-Star Pistorius. And we, then inside the pages were even 6 pages of negative reporting about South Africa. And that distributed to people who are traveling already, sitting on board in Accra. So, yes, awareness, that kind of thing creates awareness. But what sort of awareness? Negative awareness. So that's what we have to deal with. Awareness is there, but positive messages around it, so that eventually you move to the conversion where people who have seen your address and believe the messages that you're talking about will eventually book a trip to come to South Africa. We also provide a quality assurance via the guiding council, a great establishment that allows us to serve South Africa as a seamless destination when it comes to the experiences of hotel facilities, camps, and all the B&Bs that can be responsible for. So our baseline was 4,886. This is a result of a huge drop that happened after the 2010 Soccer World Cup. During 2010, we had a big number of facilities that got themselves graded so that they can participate in the bigger opportunity that was Soccer World Cup. But after that, several things happened. One, they could not afford to continue to be graded. The second one was the fact that we also introduced some stringent measurements to make sure that what we have, in fact, will resonate with the messages that we are communicating out there. So, and then, of course, others were deliberately registering themselves for the Soccer World Cup opportunity, and they dropped out. So, with that, we have had to rebuild, and we are now looking at a new number. That was the baseline. We also saw an opportunity to go beyond just leisure tourism. We introduced a business event under the National Convention Bureau. With that, we are beginning to get a few good numbers. Just a detail of those goals that we are talking about. In terms of the increase in foreign visit arrivals in South Africa, we have our estimated performance for 2012, 2013, which is still to be confirmed. The target was 12,518,000. And then the 2014 would be at 13 million. And we have the quarterly numbers there. We can also see the growth that we are applying. It looks modest, but understand it's now working against a bigger base number. It's no longer the smaller base that you were working with initially. So we hope that maybe by 2014, we will be able to migrate to measuring ourselves in terms of tourist arrivals. The estimated figure for 2014-13 is at 8 million. The minister is going to release the figures on Thursday. Should I correct myself there? The president is going to release the numbers. Is it the president or minister? The president. The president is going to release our annual test on Thursday, and we will then have a confirmed number. We have actually already outperformed the figure that is here. So we're doing well. And the increase in domestic tourism, again, is just to show you that we have a target year in, year out, and we also have quarterly targets. We, in terms of the percentage revenue, I've indicated to you that we started off with an average spend per tourist coming to the country. We use the NIT, that is the that net net inbound tourist spend, and then we move to the total foreign direct spend. But best is to look at the attended tourism and the attended revenue. Again, you look at the increase. It's going to be for 2014-15, it's going to be 3.6% and 3.6% for 2015-16. But look at the numbers, the actual numbers themselves. So it's going up. The bigger the base, the more difficult it will be to get to the target. Our awareness that I was talking about, we really are targeting, for the whole year, we're targeting 79%. It's quite a decent number to target 79%. We do track it on a quarterly basis to see exactly where we're going. We have been tracking very well. It looks like we can now move the target up to 80% awareness. Awareness alone does not translate to people coming to your country because of the nature of awareness that I was talking about. It could have been negative awareness, which weighs a little bit heavier in some cases. In terms of the quality assurance and the graded establishment, the target, notwithstanding the fact that we dropped to 4,886, we still adjust the target which was sent using the 2010 numbers. Using the 2010 numbers, our target for 2013 is 6,172. We do have some good news. When the results are released, we will have achieved that figure. And that figure represented a significant increase percentage-wise from 4,886 to 6,172. So we've done very well, and then we have quarterly numbers there. In terms of the business events, which is the National Convention Bureau, we didn't have a baseline for this because this is the department which just kickstarted last year, but already for 2012-13, our target was to achieve 18,000 delegates that are coming to South Africa from the international side. And then next year, for this current financial year, 2013-14, we are hoping to get 56,000, and it's going to go up, as you can see, by 15-16 to those higher numbers. I think this is very interesting because it gives you an idea of the number of graded establishments at the stages of March. It's quite detailed. It is much more interesting with the select committee because they also want to see exactly what fits in their various provinces. I think the bottom line here is just maybe 2 points that I would like to highlight. Firstly, the fact that a province, you can see exactly what fits there. The second thing is you can look at the various types of establishments that you are grading. The non-hotel type facilities, self-catering, the lodges, caravan and camping, bed and breakfast, all of them are sitting there. And so that is the essence of this. That is what gave us a target of 6,172. What we are not doing at the moment is actually to measure in terms of rooms. We are still measuring and reflecting only the number of establishments that are rated. The National Convention Bureau has made some quick assessments already, and these are the bids that they have already secured. And if you look at 2013, 38 bids have been secured, and this will generate 6 billion rand into the GDP, and it will bring an additional 57,000 tourists coming to the country or delegates. And then look at 2014, 21 bids have been secured, again generating 45,000 delegates with the revenue contribution of 588. And you can see continuous like that. That's why we are quite confident that we will be achieving the numbers that we have set out. And that secondly, we have actually done the right thing in setting up the Convention Bureau. We managed to find money to get it going at the time. So really, these are the successes of the National Convention Bureau. We could have summarized it into one slide, but for your information, if there is anything else that you are uncomfortable with, I'll take the questions later. Also important for us to share with you how we spend the money, breakdown of the various markets, how do we actually spread it. The third thing is our source of revenue. Where is it coming from? The government grant, if you look at the 2013-14 financial year, a total of just under a billion rand that we are looking at now. 912 million rand is what we are allowed to spend. And for 2013-14, it will be 992. Again, threatening a billion. In 2014-15 and 2015-16, will then be a 1 billion rand entity, marketing tourism to South Africa. You can see the breakdown of it. Sponsor levies continue to make a contribution. We can do better. There are initiatives underway that will help us to increase this figure. You see some slight dip in terms of the money. We have agreed with them that they will increase their administrative costs. It's a small amount. In our meeting, Africa, although not designed to make money for us, but to create a platform for our stakeholders and products, what we are reporting here really is the contribution to the participation fee that they pay. It's not revenue for us because we spend a little bit more than that. The Grady Council is possibly the only entity that is supposed to be revenue generating. That's why we can afford to employ Teddy. So it generates those small, modest numbers, but it's growing, and we have strategies to actually grow it even better. But another thought, and there's under revenue. In the past, we used to get a bit of interest with some of the money that we put overseas before it is actually spent, but it was very small. That under revenue line is likely to decrease even more as we go forward. Certain strategies and understanding in terms of what we want to do there. I don't know to what extent do you want me to go into the detail in terms of this is how much we are allocating for the specific purpose of increasing the visitor arrival, and we divided that into international and regional Africa. We also look at how much we're spending on the domestic side. 40 million, I don't know if this sounds like a lot of money or is it modest, but in context to this domestic feeding in South Africa, there's a lot of shared resources around that. We are also able to move things around a little bit, working with the stakeholders in the market. We are able to get more benefits out of that. But the last thing is the cost of media consumption here is not the same as what you will pay overseas when you go on the global media platforms, like your CNN and National Geographic, and that is procurement of billboards overseas. It's much more expensive. But that's the money we're using, and also, I wanted to check in the regional African money. We were allocated the 280 million rand. We have already, for the past financial year, 2012-13, we have spent the 50 million, and we now have the 84 million for 2013 and 2014 respectively, and we're optimistic that we will be allowed to get further funding by 2015 and 2016, because the markets are delivered actually. This is really a full breakdown of the budget that we spent in the various markets where we are abroad. I just want to highlight two issues here, because it's a busy slide. The US and the UK should not be surprising in terms of how much we are allocating to them, because these are our number one and number two markets respectively, and followed by Germany as number three. The next market that is going to start creeping up in terms of numbers, in the number four market is China, as I indicated, but it's not costing the same amount. So this is really how we are allocating funding into the various markets. You can see it starts from a variety of things like that, what we pay for properties and HR and so on and so on. This is what really talks in detail now to how we have spent the 50 million rand that was allocated to us last year, covering the rest of the African market. Behind this will be a lot of marketing initiatives, a lot of activation that we are doing in markets. Last year, we presented to the portfolio committee the specific marketing initiatives that we are embarking on to make sure that it does talk to this ring fence amount that we have given us. So there are specific initiatives over and above the justice, the lines that we're giving you here. Other issues that we really deal with in the market is just in terms of cost, CPI is expected to show some growth, and the emerging markets are the ones that are continuing to grow aggressively. From our side, until now, we have been maintaining a staff level of 189, but the business is growing, and with that, we are beginning to request more or more heads to join our ranks. So we will be moving to 194. This will be to man the new offices that we are opening. We remember we are opening in Nigeria, Angola, and Brazil. We are also going to be putting the trade relations manager to look after the hub. We are going to continue to spend on CAPEX and most of it in the opening of offices. But at head office, we also have to start expanding our head office a little bit. We are quite stretched at the moment. The business has been growing fast, those heads that we are talking about. But we have to deal with these things on two phases, one and two. We also have to continually improve our technology. This business is very much technology-driven, and without us reinventing our technology, we wouldn't really be adequately competing against our fierce competitors of Australia, New Zealand, and Thailand. Thank you very much. I will then be ready to take some questions.
Thank you, CEO. Okay, let us be ready to take questions on the short line, which is at least the short left. let us then look at the documents, which I believe we have read, but let me ask members not to ask questions around the announced the figures that are about to be announced by the president on Thursday, or the minister for that matter. Okay. Mr. Shah.
Thank
and
Mr. Farrow. And thank you, Department, for such an enlightening presentation. Okay, allow me to make a policy statement before I ask the question.
You're a politician.
We are investing in target markets in Europe, in US, and other places. For me, it's a good investment. If you look at the figures we have in US, for me, it's not in the long term sustainable venture, because I think we must be brave, take risks, and move away from our reliance, over-reliance on international tourism. I guess the trick is how to bring about that balance, a staggered move away from reliance on international tourism. How do you stagger it in order to sustain, to have the money to actually do the domestic tourism promotion? I think we will have to move away from that, because we can see what global recession is doing, how it is impacting negatively on our tourism. The most secure and the surest way is to invest on domestic tourism, regional tourism. It makes money sense as well. And just to give you an example, India. If India doesn't receive its international arrivals, that the targets that it set for itself, it doesn't matter to India, because its domestic tourism is good enough to sustain that sector. And it's achievable. And I think that should be our goal. Look at slide 16. It speaks about, in terms of objective, increased domestic tourism contribution to tourism economy. It speaks about upper LSM consumer change perception. But if you look at the 2009 stats, there's nothing. It's baseline. It's just question mark. If you look at entrenched tourism, culture on South Africans, that's the objective. Under 2009, there's no figures to work with, there's no baseline. For 2015, there's no envisaged target. failed with address the issue of geographical, seasonal, rural spread, no baseline, nothing. So the point I'm asking is, what research are we doing in terms of domestic tourism patterns? Who is doing this research? What model are they using? Are we really serious about domestic tourism? No, we talk about that one short left thing, all of that. I think the five segments you speak about, relaunch, new food study, domestic shipping alignment, five segments. Will you explain what you mean by those five segments? What is intended? What are those five segments that you're talking about? It's very vague. So basically what I'm saying is, what I'm seeing here, it doesn't show that we're very serious about it. We're investing in our international, millions of dollars going down there. We want to open those offices. But look what happens when one incident, look at Greece, look at anything happen, anything possible. Look at the banking system in the world, how it makes reputation, all of that. We need to establish our domestic tourism to a level where we don't rely on international arrivals. That is, that international arrivals should just be a compliment. Thank you.
Okay, so the question is, how do you make sure that happens? Because I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Domestic tourism should be the backbone of our tourism. Mr.
Fal. Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the presenters. I think they put some ammunition in front of us upstairs because really, at the end of the day, one speaks to the industry out there. We also go out and we talk to hoteliers, to people in the market, in the domestic front in particular, where we see where we should be growing the market, and it's not really getting those beds in bums. I think a lot of it comes from the result of affordability. I think that we sometimes tend to outprice ourselves and think of tourists as being coming here with the dollars and the pounds rather than the rand. And the net result is that I think that our emphasis should change. And I don't for 1 minute suspect that we should consider a two-tier system. It happens in many of the other places. But during the public hearings on the tourism bill, I think it was an issue about affordability. We have people in this country who have never been up Table Mountain, have never accessed some of the heritage sites in this country. And how do we, and how are you, that's the question I'm putting to you, Mr. Zuma, and your group, look at trying to attract that and to try and curb the trend of people just thinking that they can charge what they like. And that's because domestic tourists will not go to the destination unless they find it to be reasonable for their family and everything, including the travel. And I like what you say about the low-cost airline being trying to get that. But I'd just like to, having said that, come back to the issue in terms of determination of what categories of core investment, tactical, etc., etc. Could I ask what informed you of that? Because one needs to have accurate statistics to be able to justify what you're talking about here. And I'm also aware when I speak to industry that they worry about some of the figures that go out in the marketplace, and we must be cautious about it. There are people coming in, for instance, from our neighboring countries, who ostensibly are coming here for economic purposes to buy something and go out, and there are also people coming here for job creation, looking for jobs, and staying here. And they are not tourists. They're actually costing the country more money than they actually putting into the country in terms of what they come in. So I think one needs to be cautious of figures, and we need to try and find a refined method somewhere along the line of trying to fix that. Because if we don't have that success, have you actually been sort of justify some of these things? So I ask, you know, you just to look at that and maybe give me some answers in terms of, you know, what it is. And then the second thing about the statistics, in terms of what you spend, do you have figures, for instance, that can tell me that we're going to put 12 million into that African office, but expecting to see in return for that so many tourists and they will spend what? Because that's a justification I think that we're looking at in terms of approving this budget for the sake of going forward you know, into these offices. Because I've been a strong, not critical person in terms of, but I do it on justification because I do know that the embassies also have areas where they undertake certain functionaries as tourists. Now, are you really working together closely with those JOCO embassies and ensuring that you're not going to go and duplicate some of those processes? Are you going to open up an office that you could maybe also jointly and severally share with SAA, who have offices in a lot of the countries that you're talking about? and save the state a lot of money and be able to then put that more money into the marketing aspect. So these are questions that I need to talk about. And just getting back to the domestic issue, Chair, I may ask one more question. This Thompson levy seems to be mandatory removed by some agency states. And I talk about Santos. They informed us that they don't pay that because the market is charged. But if you go into the information bureau, you'll see it advertising through Park and all. They are withdrawing the levy, which so should be going into your kitty and used for your marketing purposes. And as a package, it's now being withdrawn. And I think it's very strange that the department hasn't picked up on this and dealt with this particular thing. And, it comes back to this whole thing of giving assurance to people visiting the country. They go there, they're going to see what what's been marketed. That they go into a place which is properly graded, and tell me it's not only your salary looking at ensuring we want to see we want to see that those people that are grading are genuinely grading, because they want to actually know if people are going to get that quality in that particular establishment, which is so rightly deserved in terms of the different priorities. And maybe you could just also then just comment on how you see this going, knowing that a lot of people have told us at that very same public hearing you just had on the tourism bill, they can't afford to pay, to register themselves as a 4-star, 3-star establishment. Some of them are very small and, still can't establish themselves. I've said enough, and, hopefully it's some wide words that can also be used and thought out in terms of where you're going to with this whole package. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you very much, Eric, and thank you to Sam and Colin for the presentation. We look at this thing from year to year, but I must say it's always interesting to listen to them over and over again, particularly when you notice some changes. Now, slide 4 speaks about the promotion of transformation. That is one of your mandates, or what is the mandate for South African promises? You will promote transformation. Well, it's a very broad term. It depends on what you are actually referring to. But I just wanted to make you aware that during the public hearing on the legislation, the matter of transformation was discussed. There is a transformation in the sector. Was discussed very, very passionately, I must say. Actually, what the presenters wanted there, they wanted us to put something about transformation in the legislation, because there is this feeling that either transformation is very slow or it has not seemed to be happening. Of course, people quote various issues to be when they refer to translation, not only in terms of demographies, in terms of who you have employed and so on and so forth, but in particular, in terms of the emerging service providers also participating in such a way that they can also rise up and up and up and up in the industry. There was a lot of discussion on that. And of course, it became very clear that when we talk transformation, really, we found it. Although we understood what the presenters were saying, and we understand some of the issues they are raising, but we felt that it would be difficult for us to legislate on transformation. But what I'm trying to say here is, although we felt we cannot legislate on transformation, but we'd like to stress to South African tourism, always to look into this matter of transformation wherever it is applicable, and to say that the people out there are very, very concerned, and therefore it is for the SAT and other sectors in the industry to make efforts. And I'm sure if the effort is doubled up, people will notice that. It's not going to happen in one day. It's not going to happen in a few years, it's going to take a long time. But I think what people want to see is efforts being made to ensure that transformation does happen. The question of the air links, I want to find out what the situation is like in Africa. I don't think in Europe we have a problem. I mean, in the other kind of other parts of the world. But in Africa, how is the situation in terms of the air links? Not us, South Africa, but other African countries. I know South African Airways, South African Express, for example, has been adding more and more flights to some of the countries in Africa, direct flights from Joburg or from Durban, for that matter. Yes, to speak about the awareness of tourism around the country, and to talk about the possibility, or rather your aim to influence certain personalities in the country to assist in this. I'm not sure if I got it right. Then I said to myself, I wish you could talk about the possibilities in terms of name. You will excuse me if I mention this particular name. I thought of the Mosekes, for example. That amount of money, they are assisting already. They are assisting, and we all know how they are assisting. But do you have a way of also influencing them to assist in your program in tourism? The job creation problem, it keeps coming up. Of course, it will always come up at the end of each financial year. The 235,000 jobs by 2020, I had calculated them to mean 22,000 of jobs per year by the Department of Tourism. I just want to find out how far are we, because 2020 is on its way. How far are we now with this target? Of course, the question of crime and the negative awareness, I don't think this is something we can stop immediately. But it's a question of intergovernmental relations as well. The Department of Tourism alone can't do it. But we do need, for instance, the Department of the Police, Safety and Security. We need the municipalities here in particular. Those municipalities that benefit from the tourism industry should also ensure that they provide a mechanism for safety and security for the tourists. I think this is so unfortunate, about this London. I keep talking about this London. Sometimes I wonder if there is an agenda. You can think like that, but I don't have proof of that. To discourage tourism. We know some of the horrible cases that have happened. I think it was good that the Swedish women, for example, who were raped there, I think for the last year or the year before, in one of the bridges in East London, they won the case. That speaks a lot for South Africa. But otherwise, it seems to continue. The later victim being Mr. Darren Bofu. It's the same thing, because he was also in the same area, more or less in the same area, or not exactly, but towards the same area when he, for instance, was also assaulted. It just keeps on happening, and horrible. I'm going to understand that because I know the area that I'm speaking about. But it is happening elsewhere too, where the tourists are assaulted. Well, what can we do? I think the Department of National Tourism, National Department of Tourism, just has to keep on, pressing upon other departments that are responsible for this sector, hoping that they will take us seriously, but the municipalities as well. The legislation that we are looking at this afternoon is emphasizing the question of intergovernmental relations. And so it is my hope that the National Department of Tourism will find ways of communicating, maybe through the province, with the municipalities where we have some of these contraceptions. Issues are very important in South Africa. People want to go to the seaside, and we really need some things to do. The business tourism has a big deal. What role does the Department of Tourism play, for instance, in encouraging other departments or various departments, including various departments, to ensure that we do attract business tourism into the country? And when you calculate the figures for business tourism, you also calculate us if, for instance, we participate in such an activity. Yeah, because some of these international activities also include South Africa. When I say us, I mean South Africa. Now, when we talk about the figures, so many attended, and we expect so much to spend, you also include South Africans in such figures. In this case, then I hope to find my name there one day.
Thanks. I think we shall have to break. But before we break, I think we need to hear from SA Tourism as to how they are addressing the perception that they are products and destinations that are not advertised as much as others, and unfairly so. That came up as people were proposing that from each province there should be a member in the board. And so how are we trying to communicate and perhaps classify the types of adverts or exposures and product promotions that we are having? The second area is around the issue of the national development plan, which is our plan, our national plan. We are not referring to it here, or I've never heard it being referred to yet. And what is our plan towards 2030? Then the last area, this thing of branding of South Africa. Can we not find a way of categorizing crimes, say non-public threatening crimes or whatever, so that we do not fight a crime like the one Pistorius has done, affecting this thing, the domestic tourism. Can we not find a tag or labeling of such crimes, so that in the long run we do not, you think, get the type of perception? Because right now that happened on Valentine's Day. Now we are reaching Mother's Day. Mothers are going to be threatened. So let us. I don't know how then we are going to. So I'm not saying that you should go to respond, but I think some of the things that we've got to consider, we label these things so that they give an image that they are not a threat to ordinary people or who may be tourists in some instances. Okay, perhaps with those few words, let us move out, and then if there are some questions, let us ask them thereafter and then. And then continue with the deliberation. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee, so this is why I asked what I was trying to do in the beginning.
perhaps I'm just going to deal with some of the sort of the questions in the broad things. As FIT are an entity who's responsible for the marketing domestically and internationally. Shah has indicated around, I think, the investment Europe and the versus the domestic. So I just want to deal with the domestic as a principle. And I think we made that point that, as you know, tourism is a concurrent function. So therefore, the promises need to drive certain processes. But based on that, a domestic tourism strategy was developed, which has been approved. In that strategy, it has got several headings. One is the cultural heritage, one is talking to rural tourism, where there are clear deliverables for the national department, for provinces, for the agencies, because in the provinces there's also agencies similar to SAT on a national level. So SAT has got the sort of role to manage the oversight process around that one. So the interaction on between us and provinces happens on the MIPEC, which is where the CEO of SAT manages the process with all the CEOs of the provinces around how are we going to market South Africa and how we make sure that provinces becomes part of that, that there's no duplication. You recall that I think even during the hearing there was the issue about the limited amount of funding that goes into provinces for tourism. We had the budget structure approved by National Security. So this is all these things that we try to put out together to make sure that there's a better concept for us to deal with that one. So on the domestic tourism strategy, when we at NDC will come and present, and I think it's end of the month, from Zama or the 3rd of May, we will deal with those details to say how we intend to implement the strategy. But on the domestic part, what is SAT's responsibility around implementation of the domestic strategy is already being alluded to in there. What I want to see, we want to see geographic rates improving. And that will be dealt with the MIPEC system. So I think this sort of explains some of the issues. Then, Caro has made a very valid point around the reliability or the perception about reliability of statistics. And the minister has an interaction with industry, as well as the National Department and SAT. So in that one, a specific task team was established, which is representative of industry, SAT, NDD, and CAT South Africa, where they've really looked through the models to determine whether the reliability of that statistic. And the latest information that we've had about 3 weeks ago, the minister had, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we've had a big meeting, I think, with industry, represented by the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, where the matter has almost now to bed. So there is growing mood from the industry who has been tasked by Tourism Business Council to deal with that. And I think we can perhaps, when we come at NDC, the DG can respond because he was driving that process himself to make sure that we deal with that. But I think that the issue we need to mention is that the relevance between tourist tax and perhaps something there is another issue. And you rightly say that that price has got an impact on that one. And I think one of the challenges you'll find even from entities that like Sandbox, for them to survive from the fiscal, there's less money coming into them and they need to generate. And what's happening, the increase, the price. And I want to deal with the specific about the tourism levy. We will take that up with Sandbox. Because they've got a conservation charge. My understanding is, and I think Tulani has also, that part of that should be from the levy. So if you take it from the tourist, that money should go back into the marketing system. But I think I'll bring this to the attention of our minister, perhaps he can be talk to his counterpart, because that entity do not support the national department. But I think we find a way to deal with that one. So the second one I think we're dealing with. The other issue is that, honorable chair and members, you recall that we from NDC, we've sort of really, as from the 1st of April last year, we've implemented our new establishment, of which our new establishment has got a specific branch dealing with international matters. That one is very much aligned that there is no distinction between what NDC is doing on a policy level and SIT is doing on a marketing one. But the value of structure, we now already see some of the things coming from ground. One is that
this very good relationship with Telco to make sure that we support Telco in supplying information. And those information is made available by SAP. So there's a mechanism already for us to interact. Of course, we must remember that SAP has got 10 or 11 offices, if I'm right. 12 now. While Telco has got a lot of offices. And there's a whole concept how we are now managing with Durko to make sure that they also become an extension arm of marketing South Africa. And the information is supplied by South Africa Tourism into that process. So there's a lot of good things. And I think, again, I will flag that our director general can explain what is the process of China. I think when I present you, you see that the hub, we talk BRICS, Brazil, India, China, all of those are the leading agencies. Concept. So I think there's a lot of alignment around this issue that the value on is that we do not pay taxpayers' money by duplicating things that Durko can do for us. And I think already we can see the value of that is happening. I mentioned Stanford. Then on where she was referring to the transformation issue. And I think again we would like, I would flag that if you see that specifically the NDT comes. The BE Council has been re-established, I think we reported last time, so we will give feedback of what is the progress of them driving the transformation agenda. And that is specifically going into the program that dealt with Peter Kazak, he is responsible for that one. And then the issue that needs to go into the marketing domain is this, where we need to sort of deal with that issue. Can I say at the same time, that's the point was made about the cost for argumentation aid. Now, honourable members will recall that when you discuss the bill, which will be debated this afternoon, there's a specific clause that we built into the bill about allowing us to sort of get intensive process in place. So our intention is, and that's something we need to work through with National Treasury, is to make sure that we utilise that clause to assist those who cannot get into the domain to afford it. But that is something that Treasury and Board of the PFMA will have to work very closely with to make sure there's alignment between all our money partners throughout when we deal with the system. But the principles are already included into those. So that will give us the mechanism for us to deal with those issues. On the board, it seems that I haven't done a good job at the portfolio committee brief. But South African Tourism is a national entity, and they are representing South Africa on a national level. The issue of geographic spread, I think we've debated that issue. But the chief has made a valuable, or asked a valuable question in the sense that how do we make sure that provinces are part of that? So as I've indicated, domestic tourism, and we've got strategy. But in our Lipkek and Manma system, there is a specific way we deal with those issues to make sure that what we do at SAP, their marketing strategies, all those issues are then reported through the Lipkek system and ultimately to the Manmec system where the MCs are. So we find a way in accordance with the Act to make sure the Intergovernmental Relations Act to make sure that the provinces are aligned with that. And I think that a lot of initiatives have been taken, the budget process, the domestic strategy that everybody has bought in. Even the NTSS has got targets for provinces and for nationals. And that's been written in the process. So even you'll find that a lot of these deliverables will appear in the cluster system that's in the reporting domain into the monitoring or the presidency. So we find a way of managing it. Sometimes it's taking a little bit longer, but I think we need to go through that motion to get everybody on par as far as this is concerned. And then I'll ask Nomkamu just to inform the committee around where we are with the National Development Plan and our interaction in the development of that one. And at the same time, she's also got the figures in relation to where we are as far as the 225,000. But that is the NDMS target, not the SAP target. But they are contributing in bringing tourists because that creates other jobs. And she can give a figure, I think it's from 2011 that we've been working on.
That is something that we would have reported into our domain, but I think we can share that information already at this stage. So, Honourable Chair, this is just some issues that I want to sort of list out where we are, and I think when we have the interaction with the portfolio committee, we can deal with those issues that are flagged it for the DG that we address up front on some of the issues, to share some more information with. Thank you.
Thank you, the Secretary General and Smith is supposed to the provisional tourism satellite account for 2011. And I believe that the DDG for Port Management and Medical Services next year will provide further details for that for the portfolio committee. But for Manga, there's a question about projects like the 2025 additional jobs. The figures I have here are relating to the direct jobs. And in 20, we are moving from the 2009 baseline on the MTSS. And the 2010 figure was 567,000. And the provisional report says we are now at 598,000. So minusing the baseline will tell us the difference on how far we are on the additional new jobs. And I hope that next presentation will clarify that data. With regard to the National Development Plan, our situation was that when we were created as a standalone ministry, one of our very first tasks was to finalize the MTSS in consultation with the sector and other contributing stakeholders. And we were therefore ahead of the NDP, of the National Development Plan. When the National Planning Commission finalized the process of leading off of publishing the new National Development Plan last year, we had already set our long-term target for 2020. And our input into that process, therefore, was our 2020 target. The NDP says 11 million jobs by 2030, additional jobs from all sectors by 2030. So the 225,000 become our input only for the project in 2020. We have decided that it is best to focus on implementing our NTSS targets as they are now. We are going to be reviewing the NTSS closer to its end period, which is 2024 for the current one, and therefore decide on further contribution into 11 million of MDP by 2030. I can assure you though that having analyzed the MDP and having said about tourism, we have not identified any digression from the policy guidance that has been provided for by the new growth plan, by the MDP and the IPAD, the outreach outcomes of government. It seems that government has taken a very consistent approach to the policy on developing tourism, and our strategy already aligns itself with what the MDP says about tourism, which is that tourism contributes to job creation and GDP contribution, which we have seen is exactly what the goal of the former goal of SAT is. Although they're doing it from a marketing angle, maybe the department does it from a policy environment angle. So I think that we are aligned, even though we came before the MDP.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think it has helped that Jeff has covered some of the policy related measures. I'll just be very quick on some of the specifics that relate to the tourism. Honourable Shah, the question of the European investment vis-a-vis the shift into domestic and regional investment, I think the one explanation which is very important is to say markets do shift with time. And you will see the trends that say Europe is coming back now. What we have done well on is to make sure that we keep a balance between the investments that we made in Europe and taking advantage of the growth in the emerging markets. So if you look at the portfolio and how our numbers have come through, we are not presenting the detail now, and I can assure you that when you look at the numbers, the emerging markets have contributed significantly, but equally, the core and traditional markets of Europe have come to the party. And Europe is still the biggest aggregate in terms of the volume that we are getting. 1.3 million is what we get from Europe alone. the Asian markets, with China included, are still under that number. So they are not quite replacing Europe yet. The other consideration is, when we look at Europe from 2009, the cumulative aggregate growth to 2012, Europe is sitting at 10% growth overall. So it's contrary to what we thought it was actually negative. 2011-12, the only European country that is not showing growth until now is the UK, that is just flat. It has been flat, but it's not like it has gone downwards. And there's a good comparison in these numbers to go back to your 2009 figures against your 2012 figures. They are now showing numbers coming out of Europe, which are higher than the 2009 figure, which says to us this is now real growth. So we have also made sure that we invest in those kind of markets that are doing very well, the regional African market. We understand that domestic tourism currently contributes to over 76% of our tourism. But like all other countries that you have correctly mentioned, we would like to strengthen our domestic market. The regional African markets, these are our bedrock kind of markets that we need to be very strong. This is the reason why we are very grateful for the additional investment that we have been given, and by doing so with the confidence that beyond 2014, we will continue to get funding, because otherwise the potential is quite great there. The spend coming from the market is very, very good as well. So we are doing the right things, and I think the ability to shift without coming back to our principal there and saying, give us more money, but we want to go into the emerging market, and without switching off the core market would have been problematic. Right now, if you look at the UNWTO's growth forecast, 4% is the forecast coming out of the core market. It's positive. How much of that are we getting? The litmus test for us is, if you look at the total market for the period up to November, we are growing at 10%. The global market is growing at 4%, so we are in fact doing a good job. But here's the other very important thing. Let's not forget that the economic meltdown didn't decimate incomes of people completely. There are people who've got money. They are spending, but they're just spending discreetly. And we as South Africans should be happy that in spite of all the negative things that we're talking about, we are still outpacing the global trend. The trend in Europe at the moment, since a few months ago, that we are now seeing a trend of people going traveling short term. We're also seeing people who are a little bit shy to show off that they've got money in sympathy with those that do not have money. So we have done well, but as a long haul destination, in spite of the trend that they go on holiday but don't be a little bit opulent about it, we have gotten our fair share of the long haul money. So I think we've done very well. The explanation on the segment for the domestic market, broadly speaking, we are including the segment. And this segment will vary. I will not be able to give you the exact details of what each segment is doing, but two key things are very important. One, the age group has moved from 18 up to 45 years. That we have been getting this. The second thing is, you also need to look at the disposable incomes in various groups. We are also aware that there are also people beyond those ages that are actually struggling. They've got disposable income, and our marketing communication messages will talk across the board and making sure that we broaden this space. So that's really the way that we are going to be approaching it. And Honorable Farrell, the quote translating into best, I think Derek has covered that. The pricing is something blocked. Really, Derek has covered it to a certain extent. I just want to point one thing now. I'll confine my answer to that. It's about the value chain. It's about making sure that everybody involved in the tourism sector plays their part. If it is airline, the hotels, the restaurant, and the tour operators and everybody else, there should be no one in the value chain who makes a quick buck at the expense of everybody else and the country. How do we influence that? It's really a constant engagement exercise where you need to indicate that
if someone is hedging on an annual basis, a 20% increase, it may well kill the goose that laid that golden egg. So we need to, all of us, be on board. So it's an ongoing exercise because, as Bert correctly pointed out, we do not have direct influence on the product. It is not our product. Someone is invested and they are looking for a return on investment so far as that is concerned. And the choice of portfolios really is basically around, firstly, the return on investment. We've got a formula that we have developed that the board has approved. We apply it religiously all the time. And it looks at various combinations. One is the return on investment based on the economic return. The other one would be based on the awareness team, based on awareness. But also overlay other filters around it. You remember that the most important thing for us is how do we drive volume, how do we drive end. So if these two criteria are met first, I think we are on the right wicket. We are going to go to markets that have got a good returns because they are driving volumes, they are paying more. But the other thing that comes into the consideration is the ease with which we can penetrate a new market, the cost of getting into the market, and I indicated earlier that when you look at new markets like Brazil and Nigeria and Angola, it's easy on face value, the numbers are there, but what's the cost of opening and setting up business there? And how big would you get your return on that investment? So indeed, we're taking this very seriously. Derek has covered the relationship with Derek, but there are a few things, Derek, that I may want to add in here. The first one is, in all the markets that we are very thin, in fact, no representation, and Derek is filling in, they take the responsibility. Secondly, for every diplomat that goes overseas, they will start as a tourism to get some kind of training, induction on economic diplomacy. That includes ambassadors as well. So they will make a turn at their offices. The third thing is we continue to work with them abroad, having various workshops. And even internally, recently they've been busy with heads of missions workshops here that we go and present ourselves. The fourth consideration is we develop collateral material, which is in various languages, and this is a commitment that is writing. The department is also a party to that with their international branch. We distribute this material to them in various parts of the world. We have also, we've also got a dedicated person who looks after the watch list market, whose job it is to make sure that she works very closely with all the embassies. Over and above that, we are also working very closely with them insofar as the sharing of office space is concerned without compromising the security of our missions abroad, because that is also important. At the same time, from our side, we want to make sure that we have the ability to rent our offices because we are a marketing agency. At the same time, making sure that we have autonomy of our budget and reporting lines, as well as we can, as a bank, that we can operate our bank account. But there are countries where we will be forced to actually be a part of the embassies. And this is part of the exercise that we do when we go through the checklist of opening offices. Because we have to go find out what legislation provides for us, what are the tax benefits that go with that, whether from a labor point of view would be compliant or not. We've also signed an MOU with the Bank of Africa. LAA is another one that we have agreed on this, as well as EIT, that where possible, we share office space. We haven't been successful here because our own space is also constrained, but the intention is always there. Brent South Africa and us, we're supposed to share an office in London, but in a place where they don't feel they will be in touch with their customer base. In the U.S., they wanted to set up a similar arrangement with us, but we are constrained because we ourselves are in a space which is not growing very high. Tebi will maybe talk very quickly about the grading council's cost vis-a-vis the benefits and why is there a bit of a problem and what are we doing now. Maybe even commenting on what Dirk has spoken about in terms of incentives and what we are already doing within the tourism, the grading council side, to encourage that. The earnings in regional Africa, and Mam, you've asked that question, how is that affecting our business? Our assumption when we embark on regional hubs, for instance, is that we have viable
efficient terms that are operating, that the financial regime permits for certain airlines to effectively operate. Beyond that, our job really is not to be a passive spectator when we see issues that can be an impediment to the delivery of tourism. So we do engage. This is the reason why we highlight, even on the domestic side, the plight of the low-cost airlines that are saying it is not helping our cost at all. But the regional African skies are regimented, and there's been a battle to implement the Yamoussoukro declaration. Open skies is a problem because most of the airlines are not viable in Africa, and still a national interest by many airlines to protect their own airlines. The awareness and how we use brand ambassadors and possibly get some business people to assist us. Indeed, we at this stage, what we're busy with is to really fine-tune our own policy on how we engage these people. What will be the expectation from their side, and what will they expect from our side? We are certainly not looking at putting people on our payroll, but you are really looking at appealing to the hearts and minds of South Africans to voluntarily come on board and assist us. The idea really is that, like you see all over the world, people follow celebrities, they follow successful people. So if they can experience certain tourist products and talk about it, others will follow the same thing. The challenge on crime, yes, you didn't deal with this one. I thought you'd deal with this one as well, because the security cluster where the DG is also participating, if you want to go back into this, please do so. I think it's a serious concern. What I would like to touch on, things that are a little bit within our reach, is certainly we look at responsible reporting by the media people. We engage them on a regular basis. You have no idea how many journalists we hold in the country, year in and year out, and the cost is quite big. We invite journalists from overseas to come to South Africa outside of specific events and within events like the Meeting Africa, the Jazz Festival in Java. We are doing so to continue to influence them that they can objectively report about countries that from where they are sitting, conceptually they think it's negative, it's a crime-ridden country. After they have been to the country, then they can go back and report very positively, and you will be amazed at the positivity that comes out of that. So we're doing that. But the other thing that we think is very important within South Africa is to educate people to report in a very responsible manner. But this responsible manner is about context. Context in the sense that when we see Oscar Pistorius' story, how do we do what America has successfully done? That is to separate the experience of a country to some of the events that are happening there. Recently, America has been on with some shooting spree, bombs and all of that, but I tell you, it will be dead next week, and the focus, in fact, will not be about America being a safe or unsafe destination. It will be about how America deals with terrorists and how America tracks and arrests people who are involved in this, and end of the story. In our case, a domestic matter becomes a tourism-related matter. A labor issue becomes a tourism-related matter. So that's the kind of battle that we have. And when we bring journalists into the country, and when we have an opportunity to engage with journalists, that's exactly what we talk about. But it's also something else that we begin to look at. Jan, you called your flotsam kind of approach. The flotsam approach is an interesting concept that says, don't start off by defending yourself. Start off by admitting that there are challenges, but put context into the challenges. So that people will then embrace it. And you see this a lot more with various products, consumer products that are being advertised. And people not claiming that Coke is or Coke Light is the best in terms of diet control and that it will give you the best result. No, they say they are one of them. But this one works better because it gives you the following result. But, you know, it's those kind of things. But in South Africa, insofar as the reporting is concerned and the crime, the flotsam approach says, do not start off by saying we do not have crime. Are we the only country that has crime? Of what nature? Is it not the same in New York? Is it not the same in London? Are there no places in New York that I should go to? I know there are places I shouldn't go to. Even the New Yorkers themselves know there are certain places in the south of America that they shouldn't go to. So it's no different to someone wanting to visit a place in Johannesburg that they don't even know very well, where the locals know that it's not the safe place to go to. But I think that's the one thing that we can do from our side in dealing with the crime, admitting that there are certain challenges, but what are we doing? Also, Ethiopia is in court. Marikane, the official commission of inquiry, the police that begged someone to death, they are also facing court. Even Tatane, although they've been acquitted, but there's a process in place. So as a country, we don't like it. It has happened, we take steps. And we don't hide our reporting, unlike other countries. NCB, just I think you covered this to a certain extent. There's another point which you could have expanded a little bit on. The role of NDT and then how the department encourages tourism. I think firstly, the fact that you push for the inspection of the National Convention Bureau, because the department was very instrumental in putting this. We had a business, what is it called? Business tourism sector. What we have done is to say every event, whether it's a government or business, has got a tourism element to it. If you look at how we exploit events like BRICS, the COP17, we always go there as tourism to take advantage of events that are initiated by other departments. So and this is very good. Tomorrow we'll be meeting with Brand South Africa and Southeast Africa and discussing cooperation further in terms of how we can take advantage of this. But one thing that does not count here, or before I go there, whether it's a government event, a government conference, or private sector conference, it counts for us because firstly it contributes to the GDP, and secondly it creates jobs. So we are very keen on all of these conferences. However, there is an international body called ICA. ICA's in terms of ranking of countries, it does not include government conferences. You can have the money, but in terms of whether you are number one, number two, or whatever in ranking, if your focus is government conferences, you are not going to get the ranking. But we are very happy with that. For us, really, it's about getting the business and getting generating jobs. The issue, chairperson, of the promotion of certain products and destinations at the expense of others, or at least the exclusion of others, has been an ongoing concern. And I think a key point is always why are we using Cape Town and not maybe Moses Mabhida, Cape Town, Table Mountain, and not Moses Mabhida or in Mpumalanga. I don't quite know what icon they use. I've explained this before, but if I may be short on it, the problem is that we are always competing on the global platform, Chairperson. The global platform competes on the basis of recognizable icons. And the easier it is to recognize those icons, the better and cheaper for you. You will spend a lot of money developing a new icon like Moses Mabhida to be on the same stage as where Table Mountain is, against the Eiffel Tower in France, against Big Ben in London, or the Statue of Mary in Brazil, or the Opera House in Australia.
Yeah.
Each country has got to be recognized instantly. If you have to explain yourself, then you have missed the point. And in fact, you won't have anybody to explain to, because if you use a television, you don't start off by saying, this is Table Mountain. You simply show a country, and when they see Table Mountain, they can only associate with South Africa. If you have a stadium, for instance, Moses Mabhida, you have to explain how different is this from Korean Stadium, from another stadium in Germany, which does not really make it any different. It's technology rather than natural events. So it is those kind of things that we have tried to explain. When we go on print, we cannot but put our best foot forward. When we go on electronic advertising like on TV, it is possible to showcase a broad range of South African products. That's what we do. So maybe at some stage people will eventually come to accept it. Otherwise, we don't have enough money to develop another icon better than what we have in Cape Town. The issue is, draw people to South Africa first, and then you can distribute them to the various areas, but use the best means possible. That's why Mariana has been a success for us as a country. The last point, Chairperson, because the National Development Plan has been dealt with, is just in terms of, I think I've dealt with the crime, I've dealt with the crime issues. Domestic, maybe one little thing that emphasizes the importance of domestic tourism, can, in the interest of time, let me deal with this very quickly. We are taking domestic tourism very seriously. I tried to give context earlier on in terms of the 40 million that you saw there as allocated. To say, in fact, it's not the complete budget that we have for domestic. Your domestic leverages on other shared services that we have in South Africa. So the actual cost of supporting domestic can be higher. But our statement of commitment in domestic tourism lies in one, the fact that we have appointed a dedicated country manager that reports direct to the chief marketing officer. That was done last year. Two, we have already appointed a trade relations manager that is taking over the role of domestic tourism. The next person that you are appointing is the coordinator or the communications person. That's what we have done. And the third one is already touched on this. We are working very closely with the provinces to make sure that they take their role in the promotion of domestic tourism. But there, we do invest money. The creative work that you will see, the TV ads that you will see, in our initial investment in the creative work, we continue to lead the provinces in championing domestic tourism. We also put money in some of the initiatives that we presented last year. We will talk about that when we go to mid-term. Jen sits in the marketing team or the marketing group in the provincial in the city forum. I chair the forum that Jen has spoken about. So we are able to really work very closely together. So we are taking domestic tourism very seriously. Last year, we also took a decision because Africa included domestic. But because of the focus that we see coming for the regional African market, we decided to streamline our marketing. We streamlined in the sense that we then separated domestic and SADC into one and appointed one person, and then regional Africa has got a dedicated regional director. So the clear focus in it, and we are not shortchanging ourselves or the country as a whole.
There's something that I forgot earlier, and I think that there was a question raised about air link into Africa, and I think you can still respond to that. That normally we ask portfolio committee ask us questions, but sometimes we will recommend something to the portfolio committee. The air link strategy of South Africa has expired around about a year ago. That was developed by the National Department of Tourism, for example. Now, we've been working closely with them and DBI and public enterprises on a new strategy. But, and perhaps it's not familiar, but the movement is so perhaps I think this is where the Portfolio Committee can assist with a joint venture with the Portfolio Committee responsible for transport to ask that they come and present the inner strategy so that we can start getting movement of that. Because ultimately that involves or support tourism, and it's important for us to get that through the process to be formalized. So it's just a sort of a hint towards the portfolio committee. Our minister is driving this very hard because that will ultimately support us in where we go as South Africa in opening up spaces to make sure that more people get into our domain. Thank you, Jack.
Was the Peking Council there to present or?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought it was quiet. Just to enhance Derek's comments and Matthew's comments, honourable members, at the Grading Council, yes, people are finding it very difficult and very costly to get themselves graded, particularly the smaller graded establishments. We have come up already with initiatives to incentivize them. But key to that set of initiatives is to make sure that they fully understand the benefits of being graded. And one of the key offerings we have at the moment is our online partnership that we have formed at the back of the marketing, non-marketing agreement that SAT has with online partners, such as TripAdvisor. So what we're saying to people is that get yourself graded, and you get yourself listed on the Tourism Grading Council website, and that gives you access, then you get listed to an authentic website that lists quality graded accommodation in South Africa. And when tourists are selling through online partners such as TripAdvisor, who has over 80 million unique users on TripAdvisor, then you send a channel being selected. So we offer access to channel.
Just one more thing, and there is also a point that you could have highlighted. On the assistance of the great establishment, you are talking about benefits, clearly, but key to this is the fact that procurement from our side is only with great establishment. Government has also taken that position, and the department also insists on using credit establishment. From a value for money point of view, we think that it's very important, and if broadly within a government department, we can have more and more people supporting this initiative, it will help us with two things. One is indeed to increase the base for the credit establishment and making sure that the experiences that people experience from overseas and here is seamless. The second thing, it will help us in growing the base for the Tom Saravi members, because that's the other thing that we need to start leveraging. Bringing a balance between our main job of pushing graded establishments, at the same time increasing the revenue base coming from the Tom Saravi, it's equally imperative that we do that. But that can only happen if all of us within government are in sync with using our financial muscle and not have leakages in this system. Thank you, sir.
Just something that was excluded, and I heard a hint of what Mr. Nzema said about, but I think that a number of the colleagues here requested some sort of information of the SIMTI relationship, and I heard what Dick said, and I hear what you said, but the only one often missing out of that is the cities, and I heard you briefly say something about a forum,
yes,
which brings those three together, because if we know about that, I still don't know what tourism boards do at the level of the city. You know, in my city, in East London, they didn't have one for 5 years. They just now budgeted to put one in place. Now, how does that work in partnership with yourself? That's a question, as I understand, in terms of this whole issue that we were trying to establish. Because I didn't know about that.
Chairperson, first of all, I would love to thank the CEO for that presentation. I wonder if you guys realize how well is that because you also meet me like myself. Anyway, coming to grading. You know, I visit this establishment. I go to these B&Bs. I go to these guest houses. Because tourism is in my heart. I visit them, I don't go to hotels. And I'm answered when Ms. Funene says, it's so difficult for some of these people who are owning guest houses with B&Bs to register. There are so many, you can be surprised. But it seems they don't understand the benefit that goes to them after registering. Because at times when you get to an area, you just want an accommodation. You sit down, you take your
what?
Yes, you start going. You go. You meet somebody from, because why? He or she is registered. And the tourist, when they visit a place which is not registered, you know what happens. But I would like to know, when you get to a 3-star, 4-star B&B or a guest house, what do you expect to find in that town? Whatever. That one, I just want to know exactly what is expected of that somebody to provide in that guest house or B&B. Well, looking at slide number 4, it seems if you can just sit down and take it slowly, you can be get a lot of answers from this slide. Huh? Increase tolerance, coming to this country, stay and live for them, not just to come for shopping or whatever. Let them learn to stay a bit longer now. They must treasure the country, you know, products to offer what you need. In fact, lastly, this part of crime, I was listening to the chairperson when he said, is there no other way whereby we can make them not look at the incidents of Sienkam, Marigana, you name them all. Not for them to count them under the Department of Tourism. Maybe the way I see things, unlike when a tourist was attacked when he was visiting the Table Mountain, when the tourist was at the Kruger, you name them, that a tourist being attacked, a cuckoo, you think that might come, be counted under the department. I wonder if it would be possible just to convince the world not to count all the rest under the Department of Tourism.
Okay, I think these are the last questions because we shall have to break after this. Okay. I think on the issue of communication, communicating national messages, I think we've still got to find a way, best way of communicating national messages as a country. How you resolve that or facilitate that, it's part of our national interest, all of us, to make sure that at the end of the day we get the messages out in the best way we can. And over to you, Mr.
Thank you very much. Maybe can be you tackle the questions that are specific to the Grading Council one more time. And the role of the cities, the provincial tourism authorities and South African tourism has since been clarified, Mr. Farrow, when it comes to dealing with the role that each one of us plays internationally and locally. The point that Jeff made earlier on is about the concurrence of power that says a province has the right to establish its own tourism agency, but a city also has the right to establish its own tourism agency aimed at marketing the city. We can argue, and there is logic in any argument that can provide, but the city, when I started engaging all three cities, from our side to the provinces and the cities, I was wondering whether it is possible for the city to sell the province. It is not possible, but is it possible for the province to sell the city? It is possible, but maybe people feel it is not adequate. So that's the reason why they still want a city to sell a city. But from a broad level, point of view, maybe there is a bit of a leakage there in terms of you spend the money, but ultimately it's about province, and in the province there is a city. But I'm not going to win this argument. I'm just saying that's where it is. A very interesting matter, Mr. Farrow, was lent in Italy for me, where interestingly, Rome has become much more prominent than Italy itself. You look at all the experience, all roads lead to Rome.
Yeah.
Rome was not built in one day. And all those kind of things. And then they sail Rome first before they sail Italy and itself. So there will be those kind of challenges. But where we are concerned, we are actually focusing on making sure that the provinces are involved in the forum. The cities are involved in all the forums. Not all of them, by the way. Not all the cities are involved. Most of them are very small, and they do not have, I don't know whether it's sufficient representation or budget, but they do not come to our meetings. These meetings are aimed at streamlining, avoiding duplication of activities, finding shared kind of initiatives. If I may, again, just reflecting very quickly on the question of crime. Yes, Chairperson, and the messaging, there is some obvious gap where the communication about South Africa could be left to certain entities, like ourselves. We talk from a tourism point of view. The embassy talks very broadly. They will be the ones responding to some crime-related matters. Context is always the issue. Can we educate them enough? It's an ongoing exercise. What we seem to all agree, and this is already getting impetus from the forum of the Rand South Africa, Proud South Africa, and ourselves, where Minister Chabane presides over these meetings, they are beginning to look at whether there can be no country communication strategy. Right now we do not have that. So we're looking at country communication strategies. Derived out of this country communication strategy will be messages for the week, messages for the month, and so on and so on, so that all of us, when we have an opportunity to address media, we at least start with that, and before we go into other things. You know, we believe that at least, even with various incidents that happen, some people will wonder, how quickly do you respond to all these things? Because you allow them to float through the system and cause so much damage because you're not responding quick enough. It's not about that, really. If you are overseas, you feel a little bit proud at the same time, saddened that CNN, BBC, and other international news media houses will always have a story about South Africa, but it's nothing positive. They will lead with South African story. So you have no control over that. It's mainstream media production. You cannot respond to everyone. In fact, sometimes when you respond, you may be inviting a lot of criticism when people have forgotten about it. So the issue, again, is that we as South African tourism, no matter how enthusiastic we are about dealing with perceptions of crime and safety in the country, will never go on a campaign to tell people that South Africa is a safe destination. The best and least we can do is to bring in people here, celebrities, and media houses, as we continue to do. That's how we can change the perception. And those people that have got access to the social media platforms, which is very viral today, will continue to use that and communicate messages. It's, in fact, even much more trusted when it's said by a third party. TripAdvisor is another very important point when it comes to the endorsement of the guided establishment, because it's people telling people. It's not an entity telling people. It's a different thing, so people follow people. Thank you, Chair. You can take the other question.
Thank you, Mr. Perhaps I'll take advantage of your good heart and ask for a special segment again, where I can take committee through the different sub-raisings and what it means and the question. But very briefly, Mazi, that I'm asking. Assuming you are going to get house or TV, at 3 star, you can expect to find very basic things. Let's talk about a TV. At 3 star, we can allow those old TVs, you know, those old TVs that have come with it. 4 star, we want a panel too. That's a difference. And then another difference that you mentioned is, for example,
Yeah.